You are now unmuted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 6 o'clock on Monday, the 15th of February on 2021, and this is the regular Town of Curry Beach Town Council meeting. So, call to order. May we have an invocation, please?
Please join me in prayer. Loving and gracious God, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts, and we thank you today for all your blessings, for the successful outcomes of our town events, and for all our staff members. We ask that you bless them abundantly, and we continue to seek your wisdom, guidance, courage, and strength. Be with us in our deliberations, and help us to be wise in the decisions we make for the good of all those who have placed their trust and confidence in our leadership. Give us insight to lead with integrity, that our decisions may reflect what is right and good. Keep us from short-sightedness and pettiness. Help us to make decisions that are for the good of all, and guard us from blind self-interest. Lord, grant us the humility to always seek your will in all that we do and say. All glory be to you, loving God, now and always. Amen.
Stand for Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, we have the consent agenda items before us. Are there any recommended changes to the consent agenda?
Just a question. Arlen, is that a fee reduction in 3.5?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I just want to make sure. No other questions.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Consent agenda passes. Adoption of the normal agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda as proposed?
Make a motion we adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right then, gentlemen, we may start. We'll open up with public comment. Do we have any public comments? Mandy, none. How many people are on the phone?
Three.
Three?
Two.
One.
There's one.
One.
Sorry, the rest of them are us staff.
So okay, one. All right, well, all right
Thank
then.
Thank you for representing your fellow citizens.
Yes.
On the call.
Hopefully that's a display of confidence. Not too worried about what's happening. All right then, any presentations for council? None. Let's move on to committee business. Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, they had a presentation last time. Any new news, Alan?
No, I think Mo's on the call, but we don't have any update tonight.
Okay. Board of Adjustments. Okay.
Council, I'm Harry Humphreys, the chairman on the board. I would like to present to you this evening for your consideration that one of our regular members, due to many years of illnesses within his family, I believe for personal reasons, he has missed several meetings, the last three consecutive. In the last eight meetings, he's missed five. And it really puts a little bit of a hardship on the board to not have a regular member attending the meetings. So I would ask that you consider Mr. Bowler, Peter Bowler, and put an alternate in his position. You can do that, sir.
Okay, so is he the alternate?
No, he is the regular member. There's two other alternates.
Okay.
From what I understand, we also have a resignation from the board, so we have two regular alternates.
Okay.
If I could comment.
The question being placed in front of you is the removal of Mr. Boulder, and we'll get to alternates and filling vacancies later on, but the only question you've got right now, because of his absence due to personal reasons, is the possibility. It's your all authority to remove.
So five out of the last eight?
Yes.
Is he letting you know that he's going to miss these or just not attending?
Yeah,
I'm a stickler for that. If you're not going to be there, you got to, at a minimum.
I know that I've reached out on several occasions to try and get up with them and to no avail.
Staff has as well.
So
staff has tried to
staff
reach.
Has as well. Then I make a motion that we direct staff to thank Mr. Bowler for his service on the Board of Adjustments and inform him that he's been removed from council pending this vote.
Second.
Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? So be it. Thank you.
So do we then need to talk about filling the two openings? We filled one with the consent agenda, I assume, or not?
No, we didn't.
We accept the regular resignation with the consent agenda.
Yeah, so we did accept the resignation, but we didn't fill.
So. I think they just, the alternates didn't bump up, and then they apply for other alternates.
Yeah, I think we have to we have to appoint them.
Yes.
I think.
We've got an overall discussion on membership alternates and filling vacancies. We can, and that's on the agenda on your membership discussion for BOA, but we can expand that at that time to include HPC and DDC. So you can adjust the agenda or wait till we get to that.
Okay.
I'm going to wait until we get there.
We'll take it in line.
Okay, cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's there. It's there.
Oh, are we there now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just reading.
It's okay.
Do you want to handle it?
I can start.
Are we going to cover all three? Or all two?
Well, I was thinking we could cover them each individually under their respective committee.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
So, for Board of Adjustments, the statute for North Carolina says that the vacancies will be filled by the alternates. Yeah. But in our rules of procedure, it's not as clear, and it seems that council has to appoint them to fill the vacancies. So my thoughts are, I think we should make the adjustment to follow the statute because it's very clear, and then they've already been interviewed. Mm-hmm. So why bring them back again to interview again? If we appointed them as alternates, we obviously fit them to that board. So I would like, you know, for you guys to be okay with us moving forward that way for this committee.
I don't see any problem with that, unless you counselors or something we should consider beyond that.
We have two alternates. So then I'll need, once you guys approve that, that's fine. And then I'm going to need you guys to direct me to advertise for two additional
alternates. Does BOA always have two alternates on the standby? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we need two alternates because it's quasi-judicial, and for variances you need a supermajority. So again, Mandy's right. The statute expressly allows for alternates to fill an absence or fill a vacancy. Mm-hmm. We were requesting amending our rules of procedure to conform to the statute.
I make a motion we modify our rules and procedures to conform to the state statute.
Second.
Any conversation on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it, as you asked.
And I make a motion that we direct staff to advertise for two alternates to the Board of Adjustment.
Conversation on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it. Okay, going to Community Center Committee. That committee is still in hiatus due to COVID-19. Historical Preservation Commission, membership discussion.
Mayor and council members, Craig Galbraith, the chairperson of the Historic Preservation Commission. We'll be talking about Chapter 15 issues under P&Z, but this discussion really doesn't need any sort of decision right now, but just to raise the issue I think I raised last time about what the makeup should be for the Historic Preservation Commission at this point, basically going forward. The original idea, this was a discussion, if you go back a year ago when we were formed, is that planning and zoning would act as a Historic Preservation Commission. We can keep it that way, you can change it however you see fit. However, because it is a quasi-judicial type of commission, it will need a formal charter, and Mr. Eldridge, I'm sure, will have something to say about that in terms of the official charter, the alternate capabilities and all those sort of things like that. So I just want to raise the issue right now. I don't think we're right at that point yet, but perhaps by next month there will have to be a decision by the council in terms of the makeup and the format for the Historic Preservation Commission going forward.
So is there a recommendation coming on what that makeup should be?
I can tell you what I think our discussion was, and I think it's changed a little bit because I think there's been a serious discussion of the learning curve that's associated with this particular thing, and I think that the general opinion right now is that the Historic Preservation Commission should stay as the Planning and Zoning Commission with possibly an addition of one or two of the residents.
Well, so is that your opinion, or is that
I think that would be my personal opinion, but I'm trying to reflect what the commission
is. Well, as liaison, I think it should stay the Planning and Zoning Committee, because if we pass that overlay district, the preservation overlay, there could be no challenge to that or anything that needs to be done for 6 months, 6 years. So there may not be any need for them to meet unless there is an issue. And it is a lot. It was a learning curve for us to get everything prepared correctly and presented. It was would be a learning curve for someone to open up the HPC to the general public. You know, here's a stack of data, learn it, and then you're not going to use it for 5 years, you know, potentially, or 5 months. So I just think it's best, you know, if you are on P&Z, then you would backfill as the HPC, because that would give you, you would be expected to have that knowledge and stay fresh, hopefully, as a member of P&Z, stay in the forefront of your mind with the decisions and topics we cover.
I don't know that I agree, but okay. So I understand your point. I just think that a property owner in the historic district should be on the historic committee when we're done with this.
See that.
So
I believe the recommendation at this point, not that we're voting on it, is that it be P&Z plus some
citizens. That's my personal recommendation. I'm not going to suggest that that's the commission's recommendation. The commission, however, did have a general discussion that they feel that as a commission they could certainly serve on the HPC. But when you ask about my personal recommendation, I mean my own personal feeling is that there should be one or two members from the neighborhood on the commission.
Okay.
Again, that's my personal recommendation.
Okay. All right.
So we'll talk about that next month, it sounds like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one thing to add to that. I think we need some alternate members. HPC doesn't have any alternate members.
Well, the alternate for P&Z typically stands as the alternate.
No.
You're talking about going forward, though?
Going forward. Okay.
A few things. I acknowledge Chairman Goldberg's remarks in that this has been an ongoing discussion. I also think Councilman Whitley's comments are very spot on. And I appreciate property owners or member of the public being a member of the HPC. My recommendation, and it's really subjective or more policy oriented than anything else, it's not legal. If we're going to go down this road with the overlay district, then let's go ahead and get it implemented, see how it works, put everything in place. We can revisit composition and setting up a charter at any time, but given what's on legal's plate until July 1 with 160D, given the fact that HPC may never in that time period have a quasi-judicial hearing. Given the learning curve, my request would be, let's just keep what we've got now, contemplate the changes, and table it for discussion at an appropriate time. But I would like to move slowly on that for workload reasons as well as learning curve reasons and procedural reasons.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor.
If you all want to discuss that, we can move into a discussion about alternates and filling vacancies and things of that nature. You want to discuss the composition issue first and reach a consensus on how to proceed with that, or you want me to go ahead and keep on talking?
Well, I have had the opportunity to think this through slightly in discussions with another councilman. I don't know if the other men have had enough time to consider.
I haven't thought about it except for right now.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Other than the fact that I pretty strongly feel that I hear it may not happen for 6 years, but I don't know that I agree with that. With the rules that I've read, I can see a property owner down there coming before that board in the next 6 months to a year, potentially. And that's why I'm concerned with the makeup of the board. And so I think we should talk about it in our next meeting. And I understand what you're saying. I don't want legal to be strapped, but I also don't want to pass something and then have a board that is not ready for what could be coming and not representing the property owners down there if they want to change something.
Understood. My follow-up comment would be that the current board does know what it's doing, but I understand the representation of the property. So just so that I'm on the same page, the consensus is to continue this discussion at the next meeting?
Yes.
I think that's fair. I'll send questions to P&Z and the members that have been participating so I understand the board issue.
Next meeting is the...
I think meets on March 3rd. So, with that in mind, we'll move over to, since we're still on the HPC committee business, we'll move over to the alternate policy. I apologize, but I never can remember it. Does HPC have any alternate members? Okay. HPC needs alternate members. Do we want to?
I mean, after what happened at the Board of Adjustments meeting, I think we do, and I think we kind of need to follow that same policy.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. HPC is a quasi-judicial body, a decision-making body. For whatever reason, there's no alternate member policy in place, and it should conform to the policy that was just approved for Board of Adjustments. Two members, so that we have a full board in case an application comes before it, and to fill not only absences but vacancies. Just as we just did for Board of Adjustments.
Is there any particular number that we have to have for a quasi-judicial committee review?
No, the number of the HPC, no. By statute, I have to double check. The HPC has to be either three or five. Five is what sticks in my mind. It could be any number as long as it doesn't fall below that threshold. And the HPC number equals the quasi-judicial number. So there's no separate requirement for that. But as Mandy pointed out, in the last Board of Adjustment meeting, we had one absence and one unanticipated resignation. So both alternates at that point filled the vacancy and the absence and underscores the need we staff to have two alternate members that are there to fill not only an absence in a quasi-judicial hearing, but a vacancy in case of a resignation or disqualification.
Okay. We also have a practice or a policy whereby if you're a member of one committee, you're not necessarily able to be on another committee.
Except for the PZC being carved out for HPC.
Okay. Okay. I did not realize that, but...
Just real quick, too, given Commissioner Hagler's concern about timeliness, and you'll see that in our revised. We're very concerned about timeliness. And I think the issue about alternatives is very important, because if you're concerned about timeliness, two people don't show up, then you can't make a decision. So I think having two alternatives, it really does make sense.
I agree. At Board of Adjustment, we wouldn't have had a quorum but for the two alternatives.
Okay.
So the staff recommendation is to approve an alternate member policy that conforms to that of the Board of Adjustment. Two members filling both absences as well as vacancies.
I mean, it makes sense. So how are you proposing to do that? Because P&Z has alternates as well. Did we just not appoint them as part of the process?
What happened is the P&Z does have an alternate. So we have an alternate policy from P&Z that's well established. However, when the HPC was formed about a year ago, council did not say that the P&Z alternate would act as the alternate for the HPC.
Okay, I understand.
What happens is our alternate doesn't show up for HPC meetings, but does show up for the P&Z right now.
I got you.
Okay.
But when there's a vacancy on HPC, the P&Z alternate automatically fills it.
Yes.
So then
they should be showing up. So do you want to, is the recommendation just to direct that the P&Z alternate is also an alternate on the HPC, or you wanted two because it's quasi-judicial?
Yes.
And yes, two because it's quasi-judicial, and the motion should be to instruct staff to amend HPC's rules of procedure to follow that.
And I would recommend that the P&Z alternate, at least right now, before if you do change it in the future, the P&Z alternate is one of those two alternates, right. And then you have another alternate.
And I'm
advertising
currently for that.
Okay.
First I've heard of it. So.
Yeah. Well, I apologize. Jim and I have been working through the policies and the committee rules and the procedures and everything like that. And after what happened with Board of Adjustment, and then all that, we have a vacancy on P&Z that I'm currently advertising for, which our alternate has already moved into. So now I'm advertising for an alternate is when it kind of brought it all to the surface and to the light that, you know, yes, he's going to slide into that empty spot on HPC, but then we still don't have an alternate for HPC. And after what happened at Board of Adjustment, and with that being a quasi-judicial board, we felt like we needed it. So it's all kind of evolved, and I haven't had a chance to really get into it.
In general, I don't have a problem with the context of what we're talking about, or even with the solution, but I certainly would like to see it, I think, written down. We're talking.
Yeah, I would like, I mean, why not just bring it back to us next month with a recommendation?
Yeah. So we can look at it on the 15th. We certainly want to proceed with all the things that you've brought to us today to talk about for the preservation. But I think for this particular thing, I would just like to see what, in fact, we are recommending. I mean, I've heard it vocally, but I don't hear anything out of John, and I don't hear Alan. Seems like he could use some time, and I believe Mr. Hagler could use some time as well.
But I think at a minimum we should direct the P&Z alternative to start attending HPC, and then we could get everything else written. We should have done that right the first time, in my opinion.
We currently have a P&Z alternate because Jim Dugan will get moved up, so we have to advertise for that, and we're going to leave that open.
So we don't have one. Okay.
Yeah. We will leave that open.
I guess we'll wait until next month. I'm with you, Craig. I called back up. Sorry, I was behind. I'm with you. Yeah.
Well, you're right. The alternate just moved up, didn't he?
Yeah, and we'll leave that position open until we get three or four applications because
so.
I don't want to just put the first person that applies in there because we have a lot, the 160D and then the land use plan probably by the end of summer. We need somebody with some background. We need to see if we put the best qualified person in there.
Okay. All right. Ready to move on?
So we're just waiting for a consensus motion or instructions.
Make a motion that staff bring this back at the March 15th meeting with recommendations in writing.
With respect to HPC alternate members?
Yes. HPC alternate.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Land Use Plan Committee?
Still quiet in this realm. We will have the COG down on March the 1st with Wes, and that'll be the full committee. And he will cover our path forward and expectations for the committee, what we're going to do, and of course what COG will do, and start moving forward. So I'll have more to report in March.
Marketing Committee?
I'm out there.
Okay. Parking Committee. We had our Parking Committee meeting, one of many today. Talk a little bit more about that as we come to the closure under old business. Planning and Zoning Commission. Schedule public hearing.
Mayor and Commissioners, we have two items right now. We should have two items. You can just scroll up, make sure the other items are on there.
I'm going to, I'll present some comments too.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Okay, both of them are on there, right? The business one too? Okay. We've got two items. Both of them are Chapter 15 items, so both of them will need to be scheduled for public hearing in March. Let me take, I think, the business use issue first. If you remember, I've mentioned it several times that we have in our ordinance basically the idea that we establish uses, and we have prohibited uses, and we have uses for any particular zoning area. And then we have a statement that basically says that if it's not specified as a acceptable use, it is automatically prohibited. Based upon some court decisions, that is no longer legal type statement. So we've been struggling now for about 6 months on how to do this. And we spent hours, literally hours, with the idea that trying to come up with a whole list of prohibited uses, because we now have to specify very carefully the prohibited use. The commission came up with an idea that was presented to Mr. The attorney, Elridge, and he looked at it and felt it was a good approach. And this is basically, and again, I'm sure Mr. Elridge will have some comments to present a little more detail on this, but this is an approach basically to say that if it's not specifically allowed or prohibited, then what you need is a special use permit with it. Okay, and then that will allow us to look at it. And some special use permits actually come before the council will have an opportunity to look at it and see if it's an appropriate use and look at that within a judicial type of hearing for this. So that is our recommendation. Because this is a change to Chapter 15, it does have to go to public hearing. There's actually several places where this language is in there, so you'll see with Mr. Eldred that he will talk about all the different places where this has to be changed to what we're recommending. So the recommendation of PNC is to forward this to public hearing. Obviously, we're recommending approval with this, and you also have a consistency statement before you.
Are you also going to talk about...
Yeah, I'll talk about this.
I'll jump in here right now since it's appropriate. And so Chairman Galbraith is right. In 2015, when the Tea Party was ascending and when our courts and legislature were emphasizing property rights, there was a decision by the North Carolina Supreme Court in 2015 that nullified and invalidated language that you have almost verbatim in the table at the present time, that if a use is not listed on the table of use, you can forget it. That language has been invalidated and is no longer effective statewide. Chairman Galbraith was right. What's interesting about your code, unlike any other code that I've run across, you do have a prohibited use section. And we've tinkered with that since 2014 and a couple of times. We've added stuff to that, like Mr. Whitley's favorite topic, container housing. But nonetheless, we ran in trying to be proactive about uses that we may want to regulate or limit or prohibit. We ran into problems using the prohibited use approach for two reasons. Constitutional right to free speech, which allows, for example, adult bookstores, but also a constitutional right for to engage in enterprise. So you just couldn't shut down uses without running into some serious constitutional problems, potential constitutional problems. Chairman Galbraith had the bright idea of regulating such uses not by prohibition, but by making them, for uses not on the table of uses, treat them as a special use that comes before you all in a quasi-judicial proceeding. I concur with that opinion, and you'll see, man, if we can go down to the red line, or up, yeah, down to the red line. So you'll see that the first cross out, a use not specifically addressed shall be expressly prohibited. That's the language that was invalidated. Mm-hmm. So we got rid of that. And in its place, you'll see after the strikeout in the second paragraph, two elements, both of which come from that case. The second one I've already introduced, which is you all treat a non-listed use as a special use. But the first one comes right out of the case as well. It was language in Franklin County's ordinance that the Supreme Court found favor with. And it expands property rights. So the first step in analyzing a use that's not on the table of uses is to liberally interpret the table of uses to include non-listed uses which have similar characteristics. So if somebody comes in, I guess you all do zoning compliance certificates, I don't know what you call them. Every place seems a little different, but if somebody comes in looking for approval of a use that's not on the table of listed uses, you can analyze that use as being equivalent to a use that may be on that table that has similar characteristics. If that doesn't work, then you fall back on the special use permit approach. Mandy, if we can go to the consistency statement. The proposed consistency statement, which you all will take up in when council considers these amendments, you'll see right in the middle there, said deletions, which is the strikeout you saw a minute ago, mandated by that 2015 case that I just mentioned, in its place, again, what we just discussed, these are consistent with the land use compatibility goals set forth in the LUP, which provide the Berkman Park that the town, quote, intends to ensure future development to be consistent with the historic small town nature of the community, and uses of land minimize negative environmental impact and avoid risk from health, safety, and welfare. So these are the amendments regarding unlisted uses, which staff is requesting you all fix the date for the public hearing. Any questions on these?
No.
Oh. None for me. Anything, gentlemen?
No, good.
Okay.
No.
Do you want to set the public hearing, Joe?
I'm sorry.
We have the emergency meeting. Let's set the public hearing for 5 p.m. I make a motion. We set the public hearing for 5 p.m. March 15th.
That's right. Our next council meeting, right? 15th?
Yeah, it is. I'm just trying to make sure I have enough time to advertise everything. Yeah, I should.
At 5 p.m.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay, the second item has to do with the historic district. To remind everybody, we did have a joint session. It was a very positive joint session. So we went back to the Historic Preservation Commission, and we looked specifically at the guidelines and took the recommendations of the council and that general discussion. And we looked at several different things, and you should have it before you in terms of the design guidelines, even though that's not going to go for the public hearing. But the design guidelines now speed up the process. We make it very clear that the 35-foot limit is not conditional upon the approval that people can build up to 35 feet. We streamlined a number of other things, too, in the wording. I think we took out one or two of the regulations that we talked about. So we certainly took the joint meeting to very, very carefully, and we came up with the design guidelines. At the same time, one of the other ones, too, is we took out the name historic. This is the downtown preservation district now. We take it out historically, as I mentioned, that seems to cause a lot of confusion right there. During the P&Z meeting is where we talk about Chapter 15 issues and actually the zoning amendments. Should point out that we did have one resident property owner within the proposed historic district who was online for our meeting. There was no real recommendations. She was just interested in the conversation. So we did, again, advertise this, obviously, and we did have one member of the who was a residential property owner at the in the B1 district. The Chapter 15 is what comes before the planning and zoning. Again, we took the recommendations, and in the appropriate places, we did make the adjustments in the revised Chapter 15 statements. The recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission is to push this forward to public hearing and obviously to approve this. In addition, you have a consistency statement before you. We did have a discussion that we feel very strongly that this is consistent with the land use plan as presented right now. So you have two things before you, again, the consistency statement as well as the recommendation for the amendments to Chapter 15. And again, I'm sure Attorney Eldridge will have a few more comments to make on this.
Not because he's verbose. May I approach? It's not PCC, but I did want, and I neglected to tell Mandy to put it on the agenda. I did want to show you all the changes we made to the design standards following the joint workshop.
In reading through them, Counselor, I thought that you guys took great care to address some of our concerns. So.
Thank you, Mayor. You'll see the, as Chairman Goldberg mentioned, we've taken out the word historic because that did seem to create confusion and concern. That's on the title page. It shows up again on the very top of page 2. The next change shows up on the bottom of page 3. Council wanted a quick turnaround decision-making-wise when when appeals of administrative decisions regarding minor work go to HBC, you'll note at the bottom we require that decision to be made in writing and delivered within 10 calendar days after the date of the hearing. There's a lot on the next page, page 4, because the drafting of it was confusing, which I take responsibility for. We've tried to clear up subpart I. Minor work includes alteration, restoration, or restoration of shutters or blinds, which are different from the original wording of that provision was too confusing. On the top of the next page, page 5, you'll recall our discussion that even in the rewritten Chapter 160D, the legislature only requires a decision on a COA to be made within a reasonable time, and that frankly doesn't work, in my opinion, for anybody, for the property owner or for staff. So we've made an express provision that such decision shall be made in open session during the meeting in which the application is considered. And then on the top of page 6 is the express authority that nothing in the standards shall be interpreted or construed as preventing or restricting the authority to erect buildings to the height permitted under that local bill 35.9. So that's just by illustration. And if there aren't any questions about the design standards, we can turn our attention quickly to the historic district text amendment. Yep, you got it. Thank you. The changes in yellow are from the joint work session, and everything else is as it was, which we've discussed at length. But if you'll turn to page, the historic district starts on page 6. So, Mandy, we want to go to 1508120. or page two. There you go. And again, the changes are in yellow. Manny, you can just follow the yellows. The first yellow there at the top is the deletion of historic. On the next page...
Can we stop for just a second? Oh, and this is just to make sure I understand, right? We said we eliminated historic district in E there. It's still... And I know the name of the committee and the name of the district, so I just want to make sure I understand. In section E, should historic be eliminated or not? Because I don't know if that's the committee or the district.
I missed that.
Okay. And then in section F2 as well on that page, but I think that's talking about the committee and it may stay.
The committee has to be called historic.
That's what I think. Right. So I think in E it goes away, but in F2 it stays, I think. Right. I just want to make sure I understand.
Right. That's correct.
Okay.
What page are we on?
Page 6.
E.
E.
Okay, so I have a strike and historic, and F2 stays the same.
Nice.
Good catch, thank you.
Yes, sir.
The next page, you'll see the highlight, the 1010. Well, actually, that should be the word 10, in parentheses, the number. That's going back to the decision for the administrative appeal coming out of HPC.
I believe it was 30 days originally.
Yes, sir, it was. Thank you.
So your suggestion was to make it shorter.
Yes, sir.
And on page 9 is the next yellow highlight. There you go. Again, same what you just saw under the design standards. Open session at the same during the same meeting.
Yep.
And if I could jump in right there, that was a discussion because there was confusion again from Mr. Hagler. Because it really wasn't clear. We were saying, yeah, of course it will be, but it wasn't clear, so we made it very specific.
No, thank you.
The decision has to be made in the hearing where the COA is being presented.
Yes, sir. Thank you for
that. That is correct. Next page is where a lot of the changes is. To make it clear that the 35-foot ceiling is permissible, we struck out that first one. In E, we got rid of the word fenestration and simply said it in layman's language, the pattern, shapes, and positions of doors and windows. G, we took out lighting since the lighting ordinance that was recently enacted covers that. Six is an express provision, again, about the 35-foot height ability or authority. And for some reason, I have neglected to take out all that extra verbiage regarding COAs for relocation and demolition. We've left it as it is in the design standards. Such COA applications shall not be denied. And those are the only changes. Mandy, if you can go to the consistency statement in page 2 of the consistency statement. These are all the extracts, there's 5 or 6 of them, from the 2006 land use plan setting forth the goal supported by the public and the governing board at the time of preserving the small town, family-friendly nature of the B1 district. Those are the land use policy, land use plan goals that are consistent with an approval of the text amendments we just walked through. So again, I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have. I feel like we've spent a lot of time on these. I think you all are familiar with them, but I certainly will. Craig and I would be glad to answer any questions you might have, but the order of business is to fix a date for the public hearing on this matter. I think we can probably fit both in during the 5 o'clock hour.
Any questions for P&Z or the counselor?
No.
We had plenty of, we had a good open meeting on this for a few hours. I think they've incorporated the things that we have asked them to do. Any discussion? I'll accept the motion.
How should I word this, Mandy?
Public hearing for...
That's right. Make a motion that we have a second public hearing at 5 p.m. on March 15th for the historic, well, the preservation district.
Do we think we can get through both of them in 30 minutes?
I would imagine so, yeah. If not, we'll push back to emergency meeting, because that won't take 30 minutes.
Of course, by statute, if you do run into a protracted discussion, you can continue that public hearing just as you continue the emergency hearing without any members of public hearing.
Okay. Have a motion?
I'll second.
Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Mayor, commissioners, as you recall, Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee has proposed utilizing the existing beach access signs to allow residents and others who have adopted sections of the beach to be able to get recognition and put something on the back side of those signs. We put it on hold for a while to do two things. One, to get the policy in place, sponsorship policy in place, which was done and approved by the council a few months ago, several months ago now, and also to decide on exactly where and how much where the signs would go and how much they would cost on an annual basis. So presented to you the results of that analysis by the committee and our recommendations for the donations for signs that would go, again, on the back of the existing beach access signs. If you recall, we've already put up the blue portion of those signs, which is the thank you for keeping our beaches clean and safe. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Other than that, I have no other.
I do have a question, Dennis, and that is, in the first paragraph, we talk about, if you're interested in getting your company's name, family name, memorial, or a message out to the community. Now, Mandy, do we have a sign ordinance that says, I would not like to see political statements or political organizations necessarily advertised out on the beach?
Yes.
So do we, I think we have something that says what can be.
There is a terms and conditions that he's got in here that applies to sign verbiage that are in the town's previously approved sponsorship policy. So it is addressed in our policy.
Okay. All right, so the message would necessarily be according with practice and policy. Okay.
Yes, in that regard. Policy also has provision for us to approve that and to present that to council if necessary.
It was a great idea. I think it's a good suggestion. Gentlemen, any questions for Dennis?
Didn't y'all plan on just putting it out through an email blast, or you plan on going to
We would just put it out. I think he said that she would advertise it and we'd put it out there for people to see. We've already had one person aware of this indicating interest in putting something out. So
how do you resolve different? Is it first come, first serve, or is there? Because like someone knowing about this before it comes to council, how do you resolve who gets the sign? I'm just asking for interest.
Right? We'll see what sort of response we get. And before we have a few months before season starts, and our intent is to wait and see what type of response we get. And we want to, we know that there are some obviously high traffic areas that are more
desirable
than others.
Well, I saw that in your pricing, which I think is the right thing to do, but I'm just concerned if you get multiples, you need a fair policy that. I don't know, randomly picked out of a hat or something. I don't know what the right answer is, but I just don't want you guys to get involved in a big fight that comes to us because of how we pick people, right? So I don't know what the answer is. It'd be awesome if it just turned out everyone wanted one sign, but that, I don't know that'll happen.
Yeah.
Well, how did we do it at the golf, at disc golf? Because we did a similar thing. Do we know?
That is one per hole.
generally, it's first come, first served.
Okay.
But you raised the point that we don't want somebody who already knows about this.
Exactly right.
An application, and we would hold off on that particular one
right.
until we see what the response is.
Yeah.
But other than that, it'll be more or less first come, first served.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, shall they proceed at these rates?
Sounds like another right state for us. So. And this is just facing from the beach, coming off the beach, right?
Yeah, this is coming off
on the back side.
Right underneath the blue portion.
That's right.
Thank you.
Can I make a motion we approve this Rural Access Beach Booster Program?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Dennis, and the beach team.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. I like those signs.
Thank you.
Thank you for keeping our beach clean. Okay. Stormwater Oversight Committee.
Nothing to report this month.
Okay. Department head business. Administration.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to allow the fire department to move up into order.
Since okay.
we have a distinguished guest.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Chief. Come on up, Lady. Gene.
Hey, Brent. We're back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring the crowd in.
Can we get the crowd?
I got
huh?
them.
Come on,
John. Or just stay back here?
I'll do it for you. You get it. Go ahead.
Can we come in, Hunter?
Yes.
Come on in, guys. Come on in.
Hey, come on in.
Come on. Can't hide.
Have you come down and present it after us?
Sure. Okay.
Chief, I think it's safe to say that over the last 50 years, you've probably been one of the most dedicated and committed firefighters, if not the most dedicated and consistent firefighters that we have ever had on our roster and probably ever will have on our roster. On top of that, you've certainly paved the way. You've paved the path of excellence in all aspects of the job and at every rank. That I feel every firefighter should strive for as well. So for that, the Curry Beach Fire Department and the town of Curry Beach is forever indebted to you. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Hagler at this time. He'd like to say something as well.
Yeah, so when you have someone that should be recognized, it's an honor to participate in that. So both myself, the mayor, and the chief recommended to the governor of North Carolina to recognize Wayne Bostic for his services. As the chief said, he's a respected member of Curry Beach and served our citizens for 50 years as a volunteer firefighter. His dedication performance is highlighted by the data. The Curry Beach Fire Department, he's responded to over 80% of all calls received by the department in the past 15 years. This is a phenomenal example of devotion to service and stands out as the top responder among a very dedicated volunteer team. Additionally, he's an example to the department by supporting continuous improvement. He's moved to increase its readiness by raising training requirements and took the lead in training. In the past 2 years, Chief Bostic has attended over 100 hours of community college-level firefighter training on his own time to support department changes. Finally, it's in response. For the last 3 years in a row, Chief Bostic has been recognized as the Volunteer of the Year by the Curry Beach Fire Department. So that was parts of the recommendation that I sent in to the governor of North Carolina with the chief's recommendation, and then the mayor will read his recommendation, and we'll see what the governor had to say about it.
First of all, Wayne, I would like to say that your contribution to this town is unknown to most of the people who live here today. That does not in any way, shape, or form take away from what you have accomplished. There is no one in this town who has accomplished in service what you have accomplished personally. I don't know if you know how many thousands of calls you may have been involved in over these 50 years, how many times you left this beautiful lady
How many times you probably left family behind or some special event behind because your beeper went off or your communicator went off, that the good that you have done is incalculable. And I hope that you realize, you probably do, but I hope that you realize that the appreciation that this community has for you is greater than you may think. When I wrote to the governor, of course, I put in a lot of the things that these gentlemen did as well, but I said, "Your Honorable Roy Cooper, Governor of North Carolina, it is with deep pride and personal humility that I request North Carolina's highest honor for service to the community and state on behalf of Curie Beach Fire Chief Wayne Bostic. Wayne has tirelessly served our community for 50 years as volunteer fire chief, strategist, a superb example for past, present, and future generations. I have identified below the accomplishments of this special North Carolinian in hope that you would agree on the worthiness of his life of service." You've already heard many of these, so just go to the closing. It is clear that the chief is not a common individual. He is forthright and inspirational to the next generation of firefighters, both paid and volunteer. An example of volunteerism and commitment to community that is difficult to match. I hope you agree and see fit to honor this man with all that Curie, this man that all of Curie Beach looks up to and depends on. With that, maybe if you would come down with me and the chief.
The honor of the longleaf pine signed by the governor of the state of North Carolina. Highest honor you can achieve as a public citizen.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service.
Congratulations.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, your social distance, take one without the mask.
You guys want a picture without your mask? Yeah, together with it?
Yeah, take one without your masks.
Yeah.
Let us get out of the way, so. Yeah. No speech?
No comment? No, I'd do it again though if I could, but I won't live that long.
We hope you do, Chief.
Kind of seems like it's a very short thing for a lifetime of service, but we appreciate all you've done.
They say time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief. Enjoy your evening. Okay. Administration.
I have nothing to report.
Nothing today? Mm-hmm. Building Inspections Department.
John had to leave. He said that he will be presenting at the CRC this Thursday concerning the pool situation. Or right. No, I'm sorry, the development line.
Yeah, development line.
Yeah.
Right.
He said you are welcome to watch if you want to. It will be on Zoom.
All right. We may want to do that. I also noticed.
I've got the link to that. It'd be my want to. Layton had provided that link.
We'll just send it out to all of us, okay. Just in case.
Yeah. I also noticed that we had a tremendous surge of violations again in the garbage area. So keep up the focus, Beth. Thank you. Finance Department. Arlen.
I just have one item. New Hanover County Tax Department has completed the 2021 property revaluation. So notices will go out to all property owners by the end of this month. I will attend a meeting on Thursday of this week, so hopefully get some more information about the impacts for Keery Beach. But I guess overall for the county, values are up about 30%. So from about 30.5 billion up to 43.3 billion. Yeah. So again, specifically for Keery Beach, I'll hopefully get more information on Thursday.
So does that? So this year's property tax rate will be set off that, or next year's?
This year's. Because this valuation is as of January 1st, 2021.
And they didn't telegraph that how much it shifted down to the beaches, did they? But
not at this
we
point.
Know it did. Okay.
But, yes,
that'll be a lot of
fun. Hopefully, I'll find out more Thursday.
So, yep.
Did you say the average increase was 30%?
Countywide, it was 30%.
The average is worse. I know that's bad for us, but.
Oh yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
And at this point, starting with the last revaluation, it's going to be every 4 years. So the last one was 2017. So this one, 2021.
Okay.
Once I get that additional information, I'll let everyone know.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it.
And they'll download that enough. In Excel format again, like
yeah,
in the past?
I'll work on getting that once.
Good. Yeah, please do, because you and I'll be playing with it. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. When is that meeting?
It is Thursday afternoon.
This Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll look forward to the outcome. Fire department, we did. Police department.
Nothing new, sir.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Public Works Department, Jim.
Good afternoon, Council. I just have a couple quick updates. The fire department parking lot, I'm still working with the engineer on getting the compaction test to perfection and so we can get the concrete poured. Due to the rain, everything's been held back. But like I said, we did get a compaction test that came back like 85%. We need 98.5%. So and I talked to the engineer on that, and he said, due to all this rain and stuff, that it's going to constantly back down. So hopefully I'll get with him this week, and we'll keep on moving on with the parking lot. Also, we got the stormwater management plan back from the state after they reviewed it. And we're working with the town attorney right now to determine a few things on that they've asked us to check on. Also, next month I'll possibly be asking change from the council to on the ordinance of the town from 5,000 to 10,000 feet. But like I said, that'll be next month. And also, I'm working on getting the budget info line item this year for the permit tracking and the reviewing of all the new permits coming for the town, because this is one of the things that the town, that the estate is stepping back on as far as reviewing our permits and approving our permits. So that'll be something that we'll actually discuss next month also.
Okay.
So that will be an add to the budget process, Arlen, and Jimmy will be giving you more information on that. Initially, the requirement, it was of January 28th this year, the letter that Jimmy got with our response back from the state on changes to our program, and we'll talk about those later in the meeting, but this 28th January note basically changes the requirement for all coastal county permits. Basically, they're pushing more and more onto the towns as permittees, so for us to get our permit renewed, we have to do some things. The attorney's working with Public Works because we have to change some authorities to have control if the federal government, the state government, or us as a local government do a project within the town limits. So that's kind of the stuff that Jimmy's alluding to. There's some changes that the state's pushing down that we're going to have to do some stuff for, and we're not sure what the cost will be yet, so we're trying to get some information on that. It's not required for 3 years, so we have time, but we're going to build it into the budget so we can then work into it as we're required. But the state continues to push more stuff down to the cities and towns, just so you know. Thanks, Jim. Sorry to interrupt.
Is there any questions on the month report or anything like that?
Nope.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jim. Recreation?
I just wanted to draw your attention that in addition to our usual monthly report, there's an ADA transition plan update in there that goes into detail. So part of our requirement under Title II is, and the transition plan is that at least twice a year, a thorough update is provided on our progress in that. And we are making progress on the items that were identified in that plan, but some of them are still a work in progress, but that update gives you details. So if you guys have any questions on that, I'll happily address them.
I want to thank you for getting all that started. It's been a while since we took some action on that, so with you taking charge of that, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
If you need any help relative to picking, well, I guess we're going to have to decide, but we'll need recommendations on where these parking places need to be.
Correct. And we'll bring those forward when we're ready, but prior to budget.
Okay. All right.
Budget.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for Nikki?
So, Nikki, I saw in your report 6th Avenue was an issue. That's just because it's all sand.
Yeah,
is that the issue?
To make it compliant, it would cost a lot of money to add accessible spaces there. And then what are you putting them there for? So which building where you can transfer them to either area they service, and since that area could technically service that three different areas, downtown, Jogues Park, or Town Hall, we can split the difference between those areas.
Okay.
Putting spaces in those areas to bring six into compliance, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, but is your concern that, well, first, is the requirement it has to be concrete? If we were to say four of those spaces were going to become ADA compliant, yes. Could you do it with platform or impervious surface?
Yeah, it has to be firm and stable.
Right.
So it's loose, barely even packed with sand.
No, I think we have to do something there,
right.
But we could use impervious concrete like out here. I just, as you look at it, don't totally eliminate that, because the more spaces you take down there become non-generating revenue from earlier in the meeting. And so I know it's challenging, but I don't think you should lock yourself into that yet. Right? So bring both proposals, because council should consider both.
Sure.
And I think Jimmy could have some good creative solutions. We just need to know the requirements, because I don't think we would want a concrete parking areas, but we could potentially use the impervious concrete that we used out here.
Service, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Nikki.
Absolutely.
Moving on to old business, paid parking. Well, we had our concluding meeting today to give general direction to premium parking, and we will be meeting with Premium Parking tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, and we will be walking through the town with Dennis from the Parking Committee, myself, and Tim after we meet with the Counselor on the Contract. Therefore, we will proceed based on the dates identified by and the rates identified by Council. North Carolina DEQ Stormwater Audit.
Right, so Jimmy alluded to this. I just wanted to give the council a little more detail, and then I'll share all this with council and Mandy so it can be put up with the notes. The audit reply from the state had 10 comments, two of which are important to council. The other eight, Robin and Jimmy are already fixing now as part of our plan. So our plan was basically accepted with 10 comments, and then we have to reply to the comments by, I think, March 4th or something, and Jimmy's working on that. But two of them were of interest to council, in my opinion. The first one is legal authorities, which I talked about. We're working with the attorney, so he will be bringing changes to our ordinance that gives us basically adequate legal authority for federal, state, local projects, operations and maintenance plan, and then low density inspections. So right now, that authority is with the state of North Carolina, because the plan we adopted when stormwater was adopted by the town of Curie Beach was we basically kept everything with the state, which was allowed. But on January 28th of this year, the state basically decided, or they wrote a memo that said that, well, we can't really be in charge of this because the legislature didn't specifically direct us to it, which was an interesting way to say we're going to push this on to the council. So that was the first one. The second one was basically a plan to inspect all permits after post-construction. Again, that was owned by the districts. So when the state initially established stormwater, they basically said the area district can be the responsible party for that. But again, in this note, which I will forward to council because I think it's interesting, but I'll read the specific part. It's in a note, MS4s, which is what we are, electing to implement optional, USMP must have local ordinances authorities to implement the program. Note that the USMP rule states that local governments located within one of the 20 coastal districts may elect to have the division administrator administer and implement the USMP either in whole or in part within their jurisdiction following the adoption of the program. That's what we did. We said the division will administrate and implement the plan. That's what Curie Beach did. However, the Division of Environmental Management is unable to provide the option for state implementation of a local ordinance because of General Statute 150B-2, prevents state agencies from implementing as rule any policy, guideline, or other interpretive statement that has not been adopted in accordance with the NC Administrative Procedures Act. In other words, the state of North Carolina does not have the legal authority to administer, implement, or enforce local ordinances authorities, nor does it hold the legal authority to implement an optional program on behalf of any entity. Therefore, coastal county MS4s electing to use the MSMP are required to fully implement that program by July 1st, 2023, per the table above. So that's what's happened. Is the legislature said that you can elect to have the division administer this, and then the division basically decided, or had a lawyer, however you want to put it, basically say, we can't do that, so cities and towns, you have to do this. And so that just came out as of January 28th of this year. So that's why you're seeing us come to you with changes, because the state has basically said they can't do it anymore. And the attorney's working on the authorities, and then we will work on, does it make sense to staff this within the town or contract this service out? We're leaning towards contracting out, but we're reaching out to get the budget information so we can start working through that process. And we'll include it in the budget process. And then if we budget it, then we will work with the attorney to fully vet the program and then to send it out for bid as required by the statutes for contracting with engineering services. So we're working with LESI just to get the budget numbers. How much is this going to cost? We'll put in the budget, and then we'll go out to bid for the actual contract probably late this year. I think it'll take us a bit of time, and in the budget process, we'll budget for probably half the year. That well meets the 2023 requirement. That gives us 2022 to get in process and make sure we're doing it right before the requirement of 2023. So that's kind of where we are right now. The attorney looks like he wants to add.
Well, you raised an excellent point, and I just want to stress that for situations like for unusual contract procurement situations, like that or like paid parking. It's my it's legal recommendation that I be involved at the start with the drafting of the RFP and participate in any substantive discussions with potential vendors. I just think it'd be a more efficient way to proceed. Mm-hmm.
And we will follow that guidance.
Yep. So. Is that it, David?
Yes, yeah, so I'll forward all that I just read to council, to Mandy for posting, and to council for review.
Okay.
Councilman, you were reading from the January 28th memo?
Yes, I'll send that to you as well.
I've got that already.
Thank you. Did? Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm sure Jimmy shared with you all. I just read it.
New business? New business agenda is blank. Is there any new business? That I guess not, or it would be on here. Mayor updates. I have no further updates beyond what we've discussed this evening. How about commissioners? John?
I've got an update from the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, and I'd like to quickly run through about 16 slides with you from the presentation we received in the January meeting. If we can pull that up on the screen.
One second.
And I know 16 sounds like a big number, but I told us down from about 40 that were presented to us. So I'm going to give you the summary. In 2019, they commissioned a group of people called North Carolina First, and their charter was to plan on future investment resources for sustainable transportation. Next.
Okay, good.
Here's the list of the members. The 11 primary members are made up of mayors, some professors, and business executives from North Carolina businesses. And then the two advisors down on the bottom of the right-hand side are from the North Carolina Department of Transportation. Okay. They formed up in March of 2019. Their final report was just in January of this year. It's over 170 pages long. And again, we'll try to give you the summary. And the website there is a link to that 170-page report. Okay. Their findings. They think there's justification for an increased level of investment, shifting away from the gas tax, new state and local revenue and finance tools, and of course, additional public education. Here's a few statistics on this first slide of their findings. 4.3% decline in the Department of Transportation budget from North Carolina. The state itself has moved from 9th to 7th in the most populous state in the nation. That was a little surprising to me. The cost per mile on the secondary roads and lanes is increased 36.5%. Our state has the second most rural fatalities. We're 44th in investment per mile on our roads and resurfacing in North Carolina is on a 29-year average. In this past year, they spent over $165 million on road disaster spending. That's not just taking care of maintenance, but roads that were disaster from flood and things like that. Next.
John, are these aren't statistics for our county. This is for the state.
No, state of North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
So why are they saying? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Electric, I see it at the bottom, sorry.
The motor fuel tax revenues will decline. decline. Again, these are findings from this commission. The average driver today is paying $30 less per year in gas taxes. Why? Well, vehicles are more fuel efficient. There's certainly an increase in electric vehicles and an increase in hybrid vehicles. So if the transportation taxes are much less because of electric, hybrid, and fuel efficient. Those are all good things, but that's much less money to work your road resurfacing, bridges, layering, and all that. The needs for maintaining your transportation capability. Okay? They think that there should be an increase in the level of investment of about $20 billion over the next 10 years. Okay? And then the next three slides after this are options to provide some immediate impact. The first being the highway use tax. This is an increase, it says 2-5%. It's currently 3%, so it'll go up to 5%. If you're not familiar with this, there used to be a sales tax when you bought a new car. And that got turned into what they call a highway use tax. So those dollars go into transportation projects rather than just into the general fund as a sales tax. As part of that today, you get to deduct your trade-in before they figure the tax. So they're recommending to eliminate that trade-in exemption. And to also recapture the proceeds from the A, alternative highway use tax. Alternative highway use tax is on rentals and leasing vehicles. So that's the recommendations dealing with that use tax. Okay, next is sales tax. Increase the rate by 0.5 to 0.75%. And lower the gas tax by 9 to 14 cents per gallon. Recapture revenues from transportation-related goods and services. If you go into an automotive store and buy a battery, pay a sales tax on it. That goes to the general fund. The recommendation is, since those stores contribute to you keeping your car working, then those dollars should contribute to transportation issues. So that's what recapture those revenues. And then tax ride-hailing companies, taxis, Uber, Lyft, and those types of businesses. Next.
Did they say why they wanted to lower the gas tax?
Why?
Did they say why they recommend lowering the gas tax?
Well, you're going to see in a minute they're recommending we go away from gas taxes and use these other types of revenue to capture that. Part of that issue, Commissioner Hagler, is because some people don't pay gas tax anyway, like the full electric car.
Right. No, I understand that. Okay. I'm not saying not add others, but I wouldn't take that one away.
Okay. Department of Motor Vehicle fees. Increase the fee on electric vehicles. Adopt a fee for plugging in your hybrid where you have stores and places like that. Study a weight-based registration fee for heavy vehicles because they create more road damage than a smaller car. Authorize a road impact fee and change the timing of inflationary adjustments. Okay? We've got one on long term. Go ahead. Do a pilot study on mileage-based user programs. Again, with a plan to fully replace the motor fuel tax in the next 10 years. So if you drive a lot, going back to you use a lot of water, you pay for it.
Fair enough.
Drive a lot, you're going to pay more than somebody that drives a little. Remove the cap on highway tolling in private and public and private partnerships, and reauthorize and fund the state infrastructure bank. I had to dig into that a little bit. That bank used to exist, and it does, it's a state bank that does transportation loans to communities. That's what that's about. Okay? Go ahead. Local government, authorize additional local option sales tax for transportation purposes, local road impact fees, and local infrastructure banks. Now, these things would be approved by the legislature that a local community could implement these types of decisions without coming back to the legislature to do them. It doesn't mean that if you authorize it, that a local community would have to do it.
What's a road impact fee?
My understanding of that is it's something similar to the heavier vehicles have more impact on the road, so they will get a bigger fee.
Thank you.
Okay, next step, last chart. They're going to try to influence with this study the North Carolina Department of Transportation legislative agenda going forward. Of course, increase the outreach and education for the public, the legislature, industry. And then a mileage-based user fee pilot program in the fall of this year. And they didn't really have much detail as to where that would be. It won't be across the whole state, but do some type of pilot program of how you would structure a fee based on how many miles somebody drove or used.
Yeah, John, as a conservative economist, my hard time goes through palpitations when I see the word fee. But in particular, the mileage-based user fee, does this mean somebody's going to be looking at our odometers on a yearly basis, all of our odometers?
I don't know. Greg, it's a great question.
I don't know how they can do that otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a mileage-based, I don't know if you would have to certify on your taxes. You log in at the beginning of the year and you have somebody checks on your, like you say, the odometer. I don't know.
What happens if I drive in Virginia and some of my miles are up in Virginia?
Right.
Like that. So it's interesting that they would come up with that.
And again, this is a, like I said, a study. It took about 2 years to get completed. And their recommendations, the way they see things. This all has to go to the North Carolina legislature, and some of it will probably get approved, some of it may not. Anyway, unless there are any other questions, that's all I had as an update. Thank you, Mandy.
Okay. Alan, do you have anything?
Yes, sir, just real quick. I forwarded an email from Lakeland, the contact information for the call-in for the CRC meeting this week. Also, in that package that I sent you is the what we talked about in our recent meeting last week. Basically, the we're exploring three different ways to help fund the beach renourishment or the coastal storm reduction project, federal funding. Also, number two is New Hanover County Partners move forward as scheduled, and that will be using funds in the fund balance from our $2 and then or pushing the maintenance event to fiscal year 23. We have a call tomorrow
with some of the mayors and members of the commission to the Fourth Waterways Commission to discuss where we are right now. So I think they're making some progress. I don't think they wanted to say a whole lot until they were still gathering some other information. So we should know more tomorrow where we are and getting with the federal funding side of it.
Okay. No, Joseph? Okay. David?
Sure. Make a motion, we close.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.